No, that's blonde, she says. But it's dark blonde, so that's okay, I guess. Almost brown, maybe. I like the messy shag, and that body makes up for the fact that his hair isn't black. Tori takes a drink and leans back in her chair, still staring at him. Maybe I'm being too picky. What do I care what color his hair is? It'll be dark when I have my hands in it anyway. I shake my head. He's really talented, I say. I still haven't responded to his text, but he doesn't seem to be waiting around. He's watching his hands as he plays, not paying a bit of attention to us.
I wonder if he's single, Tori says. I'd like to see what other talents he has.
I have no idea if he's single, but the way Tori is thinking about him makes my stomach turn. Tori is incredibly cute, and I know she could find out if he had other talents if she really wanted to. She tends to get whomever she wants in the guy department. I've never really minded, until now.
You don't want to be involved with a musician, I say, as if I have any experience that would qualify me to give her advice. Besides, I'm pretty sure Ridge does have a girlfriend. I saw a girl on his patio with him a few weeks ago. That's technically not a lie, I did see one once.
Tori glances at me.
You know his name? How do you know his name?
I shrug as if it's no big deal, because honestly it is no big deal. He needed help with lyrics last week, so I texted him some. She sits up in her chair.
You know his phone number?
I suddenly become defensive, not liking the accusatory tone in her voice. Calm down, Tori, I don't even know him. All I did was text him a few lyrics. She laughs. I'm not judging, Sid, she says, holding up her hands in defense. I don't care how much you love Hunter. If you have an opening with that, she flicks her hand in Ridge's direction. I'd be livid if you didn't take advantage of it. I roll my eyes. You know I'd never do that to Hunter. She sighs and leans back in her chair.
Yeah, I know.
We're both looking at Ridge when he finishes the song. He picks up his phone and types something, then picks up his guitar, just as my phone vibrates and he begins to play another song. Tori reaches for my phone, but I grab it first and hold it out of her reach.
That's from him, isn't it? She says.
I read the text.
Ridge, when Barbie goes away, I want more.
I cringe, because there's no way I'm letting Tori read this text. For one thing, he insulted her. Also, the second part of his text would have an entirely different meaning if she read it. I hit delete and press the power button down to lock my phone in case she snatches it away from me.
You're flirting, she says teasingly.
She picks up her empty plate and stands up.
Have fun with your sexting.
Ugh, I hate that she thinks I'd ever do that to Hunter. I'll worry about setting her straight later, though. In the meantime, I take out my notebook and find the page with the lyrics I wrote to the song he's currently playing. I transfer them to a text, hit send, and hurry back inside.
That was so good, I say as I place my plate in the sink. That's probably my favorite Italian restaurant in all of Austin.
I walk to the couch and fall down next to Tori, trying to appear casual about the fact that she thinks I'm cheating on Hunter. The more defensive I get about it, the less likely she'll be to believe me when I try to deny it.
Oh my God, that reminds me, she says. The funniest thing happened a couple of weeks ago at this Italian restaurant. I was eating lunch with my mom, and we were out on the patio. Our waiter was telling us about dessert, when all of a sudden, this cop car comes screeching around the corner, sirens blaring.
I'm holding my breath, scared to hear the rest of her story. What the hell? Hunter said he was with a coworker. The odds of them both being at the same restaurant without being there together is way more than coincidental. But why would they lie about being together? My heart is folding in on itself
I think I'm going to be sick.
How could they?
Sid, are you okay?
Tori is looking at me with genuine concern.
You look like you're about to be sick.
I put my hand over my mouth because I'm afraid she might be right. I can't answer her right away. I can't even work up the strength to look at her. I try to still my hand, but I can feel it trembling against my mouth. Why would they be together and not tell me? They're never together without me. They'd have no reason to be together unless they were planning something.
Planning something.
Oh, wait a second. I press my palm against my forehead and shake my head back and forth. I feel as if I'm in the stupidest moment in all of my nearly 22 years of existence. Of course they were together. Of course they're hiding something. It's my birthday next Saturday. Not only do I feel incredibly stupid for having believed they would do something like that to me, but I feel unforgivably guilty.
You okay?
Tori says. I nod.
Yeah.
I decide not to mention the fact that I know she was with Hunter. I would feel even worse if I ruined their surprise. I think the Italian food is just making me a little nauseated. I'll be right back. I stand and walk to my bedroom, then sit on the edge of my bed in order to regain my bearings. I'm filled with a mixture of doubt and guilt. Doubt, because I know neither of them would do what I briefly thought they had done. Guilt, because for a brief moment, I actually believed they were capable of it.
Bridge. I was hoping the first set of lyrics wasn't a fluke, but after seeing the second set she sent me and adding them to the music, I text Brennan. I can't not tell him about her any longer. Me. I'm about to send you two songs. I don't even need you to tell me what you think of them because I know you'll love them. So let's move past that because I need you to solve a dilemma for me. Brennan. Oh shit. I was just kidding about the Maggie thing. You didn't really dump her for inspiration, did you? Me. I'm being serious. I found a girl who I'm positive was brought to this earth specifically for us. Brennan. Sorry, man, I'm not into that shit. I mean, maybe if you weren't my brother, but still. Me. Stop with the horse shit, Brennan. Her lyrics, they're perfect. And they come so effortlessly to her. I think we need her. I haven't been able to write songs like these since, well, ever. Her lyrics are perfect. And you need to take a look at them because I sort of need you to love them and agree to buy them from her. Brennan. What the hell, Ridge? We can't hire someone to write lyrics for us. She'll want a percentage of the royalties, and between the two of us and the guys in the band, it won't be worth it. Me. I'm going to ignore that until you check the email I just sent you. I put my phone down and paced the room, giving him time to take a look at what I just sent him. My heart is pounding, and I'm sweating. Even though it's not at all hot in this room. I just can't take his telling me no because I'm scared that if we can't use her, I'll be facing another 6 months of a concrete wall. After several minutes, my phone vibrates. I drop to my bed and pick it up. Brennan. Okay, see what she's willing to take and let me know. I smile and toss the phone into the air and feel like yelling. After I calm down enough to text her, I pick up my phone and think. I don't want to freak her out, because I know she's completely new to this kind of thing. Me. I was wondering if we could talk sometime soon. I have a proposition for you. And get your mind out of the gutter, it's completely music-related. Sydney. Okay. I can't say I'm looking forward to it, because it makes me nervous. You want me to call you when I get off work? Me. You work? Sydney. Yes, campus library. Morning shift mostly, except for this weekend. Me. Oh, I guess that's why I never noticed. I don't usually get out of bed until after lunch. Sydney. So do you want me to call you after I get home? Me. Just text me. You think we can meet up sometime this weekend? Sydney. Probably, but I'd have to talk to my boyfriend. Don't want him to find out and think you're using me for more than my lyrics. Me. Okay, sounds good. Sydney. If you want, you could come to my birthday party tomorrow night. Might be easier because he'll be here. Me. It's your birthday tomorrow? Happy early birthday. And that sounds good. What time? Sydney. Not sure. I'm not supposed to know about it. I'll just text you tomorrow night once I find out more. Me. Okay. Honestly, I don't like the fact that her boyfriend might be there. I want to talk to her about it alone because I still haven't decided what to do about what I know is going on between that asshole and her roommate. But I need her to agree to help me before her heart gets shattered, so maybe my silence has been a little selfish. I do admire the fact that she wants to be honest with him, even though he doesn't deserve it. Which makes me think maybe this is something I should bring up to Maggie, even though it never occurred to me before that it might even remotely be an issue. Me. Hey, how's my girl? Maggie. Busy. This thesis is kicking my ass. How's my guy? Me. Good. Really good. I think Brennan and I found someone who's willing to write lyrics with us. She's really good, and I've already finished almost 2 songs since you left last weekend. Maggie. Ridge, that's great. I can't wait to read them. Maybe next weekend? Me. You coming here, or am I going to you? Maggie. I'll come there. I need to spend some time at the nursing home. Love you. Me. Love you. Don't forget our video chat tonight. Maggie. You know I won't. I already have my outfit picked out. Me. That better be a cruel joke. You know I don't care to see clothes. Maggie. Winky face. 8 more hours. I'm hungry. I toss the phone aside. I pull open my bedroom door and take a step back when the shit that's been piled up on the other side begins to fall in on me. First it's the lamp, then the end table it was resting on, then the end table, the lamp, and the other end table were piled on top of. Damn it, Warren. These pranks are starting to get out of hand. I press my arm into the couch that's been shoved up against my bedroom door. I push it back out into the living room and jump over it, then head toward the kitchen. I carefully spoon toothpaste onto an Oreo, then replace the top of the cookie and gently squeeze it. I put it back into the package with the rest of Warren's Oreos and seal the package shut, just as my phone vibrates. Sydney, can you do me a favor? She has no idea how many favors I'd do for her right now. I'm pretty much at her mercy. Me. What's up? Sydney. Can you look out your balcony door and tell me if you see anything suspicious going on at my apartment? Shit, does she know? What does she want me to tell her? I know it's selfish, but I really don't want to tell her about her boyfriend until after I have the chance to talk to her about the lyrics. Me. Okay, hold on. I walk to my balcony and glance across the courtyard. I don't see anything out of the ordinary. It's almost dark, though, so I can't see much. I'm not sure what she wants me to find, so I choose not to be too descriptive when I respond. Me. Looks quiet. Sydney. Really? Are the blinds open? You don't see people? I look again. The blinds are open, but the only thing I can see from here is the glare from the TV. Me. Doesn't look like anyone's home. Aren't you having a birthday party later tonight? Sydney. I thought so. I'm really confused. There's movement in one of the windows, and I see her roommate go into the living room. Sydney's boyfriend follows closely behind her, and they both sit on the couch, but all I can see is their feet. Me. Wait, your boyfriend and your roommate just sat on the couch. Sydney. Okay, sorry to bother you. Me. Wait, what about tonight? Are you still having a birthday party? Sydney. I don't know. Hunter says he's taking me out to eat as soon as I get home from work, but I sort of thought it was a lie. I know he and Tori had lunch together a couple weeks ago, but they don't know I know. They were obviously planning something, and I assumed it was a surprise party, but tonight's the only night that could happen. I wince. She actually caught them in a lie, and she thought they were together because they were planning something nice for her. Christ. I don't even know the guy, and I have a huge urge to walk over there and beat the shit out of him. It's her birthday. I can't tell her on her birthday. I take a deep breath, then decide to text Maggie for advice. Me. Question. You busy? Maggie. Nope. Shoot. Me. If it was your birthday and someone you knew found out I was cheating on you, would you want to know right then? Or would you hope that person would wait to tell you until it was no longer your birthday? Maggie. If this is a hypothetical question, I'm going to kill you for this heart attack. If it's not hypothetical, I'm going to kill you for this heart attack. Me. You know it's not me. It's not your birthday. Winky face. Maggie. Who's cheating on whom? Me. It's Sydney's birthday today, the girl I was telling you about who writes the lyrics. I happen to know her boyfriend is cheating on her, and I'm kind of in a position where I should tell her because she's becoming suspicious. Maggie. Jesus, I'd hate to be you right now. But if she's suspicious and you know for a fact he's cheating, you need to tell her, Ridge. If you don't say anything, you're inadvertently lying. Me. Ugh, that's what I thought you would say. Maggie. Good luck. I'm still going to kill you for the heart attack next weekend. I sit on the bed, then start a text to Sydney. Me. I'm not sure how to say this, Sydney. You're not driving right now, are you? Sydney. Oh, jeez. There are people there, aren't there? Lots of them? Me. No, there isn't anyone there but the two of them. First, I need to apologize for not telling you this sooner. I didn't know how, because we don't know each other that well. Second, I'm sorry for doing it on your birthday, of all days, but I feel like an ass for even waiting this long. And third, I'm sorry you have to find out via text, but I don't want you to have to walk back into your apartment without knowing the truth first. Sydney. You're scaring me, Ridge. Me. I'm just going to rip the band-aid off, okay? Something has been going on between your roommate and your boyfriend for a while. I hit send and close my eyes, knowing I'm completely ruining her birthday. If not pretty much every day after today, too. Sydney. Ridge, they've been friends for longer than I've even known Hunter. I think you've misinterpreted everything. Me. If sticking your tongue down someone's throat while straddling him is friendship, then I'm sorry. But I'm positive I'm not misinterpreting anything. It's been going on for weeks. I'm assuming they come out to the patio while you're in the shower because they're never out there long. But it happens a lot. Sydney. If you're being honest, why didn't you tell me when we first started talking? Me. How does one comfortably say this to another person, Sydney? When is there ever an appropriate time? I'm telling you now because you're becoming suspicious and it's as appropriate a time as it can be. Sydney. Please tell me you have a warped sense of humor because you have no idea what you're doing to my heart right now. Me. I'm sorry, Sydney. Really. I wait patiently for a response. She doesn't text me back. I contemplate texting her, but I know she needs time to absorb this. Damn it, I'm such an asshole. Now she'll probably be pissed at me, but I can't blame her. I guess I can kiss the lyrics goodbye. My door swings open, and Warren barges in, then hurls a cookie straight at me. I duck, and it hits the headboard behind me. Asshole! Warren yells. He turns and marches back out of the bedroom and slams the door.
Chapter 4. Sydney. I must be in shock. How the hell did the day turn out like this? How does one girl go from having a best friend, a boyfriend, a purse, and a roof over her head, to being heartbroken and naked, standing frozen in a strange shower, staring at the wall for half an hour straight? I swear to God, if this is some huge elaborate birthday hoax at my expense, I'm never speaking to anyone, ever again, ever. However, I know it's not a hoax. A hoax is just wishful thinking. I knew the second I walked through the front door and headed straight for Hunter that everything Ridge had said was true. I flat out asked Hunter if he was sleeping with Tori, and the looks on both of their faces would have been comical if they didn't completely crush my heart and deplete my trust in one fell swoop.
I wanted to sink to the floor and cry when he couldn't deny it. Instead, I walked calmly to my bedroom and began packing my things. Tori came into the room, crying. She tried to tell me it meant nothing, that sex had always been a casual thing between them, even before they met me. Hearing her say it meant nothing to them hurt worse than anything. If it meant something to either of them, at least I could vaguely understand their betrayal. But the fact that she was claiming it meant nothing, yet it still happened, hurt me more than anything else she could have possibly said at that moment. I'm pretty sure that's when I punched her. It doesn't help matters that I lost my job just minutes after Ridge told me about Hunter and Tori. I think it's frowned upon in most libraries when student workers begin crying and throwing books at the wall in the middle of their shift. But I can't help the fact that I happened to be stalking the romance section the second I found out my boyfriend of 2 years was sleeping with my roommate. The sappy romantic covers on the cart in front of me just really pissed me off. I turn the water off in Ridge's shower and step out, then get dressed. I feel better physically after finally getting into dry clothes, but my heart is growing heavier and heavier with each passing minute. The more time that passes by, the more my reality begins to sink in. In the course of just 2 hours, I've lost the entire last 2 years of my life. That's a lot of time to invest in two people who were supposed to be the most trusted people in my life. I'm not sure if I would have ended up marrying Hunter, or if he would have been the father of any future children of mine, but it hurts to know that I trusted him enough to possibly fill those roles, and he ended up being the opposite of who I thought he was. I think the fact that I misjudged him pisses me off more than the fact that he cheated on me. If I can't even accurately judge the people closest to me, then I can't trust anyone, ever. I hate them for taking that away from me. Now, no matter who comes into my life after this, I'll always be skeptical. I walk back into the living room, and all the lights are out except for a lamp beside the couch. I look at my phone, and it's barely after 9. Several texts came through while I was in the shower, so I take a seat on the couch and scroll through them. Hunter,
please call me. We need to talk.
Tori, I'm not mad at you for hitting me. Please call me.
Hunter, I'm worried about you. Where are you?
Ridge,
I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner. Are you okay?
Hunter,
I'll bring your purse to you. Just tell me where you are.
I drop the phone onto the coffee table and sink back onto the couch. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Of course, I never want to speak to either of them again, but where does that put me? I can't afford my own apartment right now, since financial aid doesn't come in for another month. I don't have enough money in savings to put down a deposit, plus get all the utilities turned on until then. The majority of the friends I've made since I've been going to school here still live in dorms, so staying with them is out of the question. I'm basically left with two options. Call my parents, or enter into some odd plural relationship with Hunter and Tori in order to save money. Neither option is one I'm willing to entertain tonight. I'm just thankful that Ridge allowed me to stay at his place. At least I'm saving money on a hotel room. I have no idea where I'll go when I wake up in the morning, but that's still a good 12 hours away. Until then, I'll just continue to hate the entire universe while I feel sorry for myself. And what better way to feel sorry for myself than while getting drunk? I need alcohol. Bad. I walk to the kitchen and begin to scan the cabinets. I hear the door to Ridge's bedroom open. I glance over my shoulder at him as he comes out of his room. His hair is definitely light brown. Take that, Tori. He's in a faded t-shirt and jeans, and he's barefoot, eyeing me inquisitively as he makes his way into the kitchen. I feel a little embarrassed for being caught rummaging through his cabinets, so I turn away from him before he sees me blush. I need a drink, I say, You got any alcohol? He's staring down at his phone, texting me again. He either can't do two things at once, or he's upset because I had an attitude with him today. I'm sorry if I was a bitch to you, Ridge, but you have to admit my response was a little justified considering the day I've had. He casually slips his phone into his pocket and looks at me from across the bar, but he chooses not to respond to my half-assed apology. He purses his lips and cocks an eyebrow. I'd like to smack that cocky eyebrow back down where it belongs. What the hell is his problem? The worst thing I did to him was flip him off. I roll my eyes and shut the last cabinet, then walk back to the couch. He's really being a jerk, considering my situation. From the little time I've known him, I was under the impression that he was actually a nice guy, but I'd almost rather go back to my own apartment with Tori and Hunter. I pick up my phone, expecting another text from Hunter, but it's from Ridge. Ridge,
if you aren't gonna look at me when you speak, you might wanna stick to texting.
I read the text several times, trying to make sense of it, but no matter how many times I read it, I don't understand it. I grow concerned that maybe he's a little weird and I need to leave. I look at him, and he's watching me. He can see the confusion on my face, but he still doesn't explain himself. Instead, he resumes texting. When my phone receives another message, I look at the screen. Ridge.
I'm deaf, Sydney.
Deaf?
Oh.
Wait. Deaf? But how? We've had so many conversations. The last few weeks of knowing him and talking to him flash through my memory, and I can't recall a single time I've actually heard him speak. Is that why Bridget thought I was deaf? I stare at my phone, sinking into a heap of embarrassment. I'm not sure how to feel about this. I'm sure that feeling betrayed isn't a fair response, but I can't help it. I feel I need to tack this onto the ways the world can betray Sydney on her birthday list. Not only did he not tell me he knew my boyfriend was screwing around on me, but he also failed to mention that he's deaf. Not that being deaf is something he should feel obliged to tell me, I don't know, I feel a little hurt that he didn't share that fact with me. Me. Why didn't you tell me you were deaf? Ridge.
Why didn't you tell me you could hear?
I tilt my head as I read his text, and flood with even more humiliation. He makes a good point. Oh well, at least he won't hear me cry myself to sleep tonight. Me. Do you have any alcohol? Ridge reads my text and laughs, then nods. He walks to the cabinet below the sink and pulls out a container of Pine Sol. He takes two glasses out of the cabinet, then proceeds to fill them with cleaning liquid? What the hell are you doing? I ask. When he doesn't turn around, I slap myself in the forehead, remembering he can't hear me. This will take some getting used to. I walk to where he's standing. When he sets the Pine Sol down on the counter and picks up both glasses, I grab the bottle of cleaning solution and read it, then arch an eyebrow. He laughs and hands me a glass. He sniffs his drink, then motions for me to do the same. I hesitantly bring it to my nose and am met with the burning scent of whiskey. He holds the glass out, clinks it to mine, and we both down our shots. I'm still recovering from the awful taste when he picks up his phone and texts me again. Ridge,
our other roommate has an issue with alcohol, so we have to hide it from him.
Me, is his issue that he hates it?
Ridge, his issue is that he doesn't like to pay for it himself and he drinks everyone else's.
I nod, set my phone back down, grab the container, and pour us each another shot. We repeat the motions, downing the second one. I grimace as the burn spreads its way down my throat and through my chest. I shake my head, then open my eyes. Can you read lips? I ask. He shrugs, then grabs a piece of paper and a pen, conveniently placed on the counter next to him.
Depends on the lips.
I guess that makes sense.
Can you read mine? He nods and takes the pen again. Mostly. I've learned to anticipate what people are going to say more than anything. I take most of my cues from body language and the situations I'm in.
What do you mean?
I ask, pushing on the counter with my palms and hopping up onto the bar. I've never met anyone who couldn't hear before. I didn't realize I was full of so many questions. It could be that I'm already feeling a buzz, or I just don't want him to go back to his room yet. I don't want to be left alone to think about Hunter and Tori.
Ridge sets the notepad down and picks up my phone, then tosses it to me. He pulls one of the bar stools out and sits on it next to where I'm seated on the counter.
Ridge, if I'm at the store and a cashier speaks to me, I can mostly guess what they're asking. Same thing with a waitress at a restaurant. It's pretty simple to gather what people are saying when it's a routine conversation.
Me.
But what about right now? This isn't routine. I doubt you have many homeless girls spend the night on your couch, so how do you know what I'm saying?
Ridge.
Because you're basically asking me the same questions as anyone else who initially finds out I can't hear. It's the same conversation, just different people.
This comment bothers me, because I don't want to seem like those kinds of people at all.
It has to get old, having to field the same questions over and over.
Me. Well, I don't really want to know about it then. Let's change the subject.
Ridge looks up at me and smiles. Damn, I don't know if it's the whiskey or the fact that I've been single for 2 hours, but that smile does some serious flirting with my stomach.
Ridge,
let's talk about music.
Okay, I say with a nod.
Ridge, I wanted to talk to you about this tonight. You know, before I ruined your life and all that. I want you to write lyrics for my band. For the songs I have written and maybe some future songs. If you're up for it.
I pause before responding to him. My initial response is to ask him about his band, because I've been dying to see this guy perform. My second response is to ask him how the hell he can play a guitar if he can't hear, but again, I don't want to be one of those people. My third response is to automatically say no, because agreeing to give someone lyrics is a lot of pressure. Pressure I don't really want right now. Since my life has pretty much taken a nosedive today. I shake my head.
No, I don't think I want to do that.
Ridge,
we would pay you.
That gets my attention. I suddenly feel an option 3 making its way into the picture.
Me,
what kind of pay are we talking about? I still think you're insane for wanting me to help you write lyrics. But you may have caught me at a very desperate and destitute moment, being as though I'm homeless and could use some extra money.
Ridge, why do you keep referring to yourself as homeless? Do you not have a place to stay?
Me. Well, I could stay with my parents, but that would mean I'd have to transfer schools my senior year, and it would put me about 2 semesters behind. I could also stay with my roommate, but I don't know how much I'd like to hear her screwing my boyfriend of 2 years at night while I try to sleep.
Ridge, you're a smartass.
Me. Yeah, I guess I've got that going for me.
Ridge, you can stay here. We're kind of in search of a 4th roommate. If it means you'll help us with the songs, you can stay for free until you get back on your feet.
I read the text twice, slowly. I shake my head.
Ridge, just until you can get your own place.
Me. No, I don't even know you. Besides, your Hooters girlfriend already hates me.
Ridge laughs at that comment.
Ridge,
Bridget is not my girlfriend, and she's hardly ever here, so you don't have to worry about her.
Me. This is too weird.
Ridge. What other option do you have? I saw you didn't even have cab fare earlier. You're pretty much at my mercy.
Me. I have cab fare. I left my purse in my apartment and I didn't want to go back up to get it, so I didn't have a way to pay the driver. Ridge frowns when he reads my text. Ridge, I'll go with you to get it if you need it. I look up at him. Are you sure? I ask. He smiles and walks toward the front door. So, I follow him.
Ridge. It's still raining out, and I know she just put on dry clothes after her shower, so once we reach the bottom of the stairwell, I pull my phone out and text her. Me. Wait here so you don't get wet again. I'll go get it myself. She reads the text and shakes her head, then looks back up at me. No, I'm going with you. I can't help but appreciate the fact that she doesn't respond to my being deaf the way I expect her to. Most people become uneasy once they aren't sure how to communicate with me. The majority of them raise their voices and talk slowly, sort of like Bridget. I guess they think being louder will somehow miraculously make me hear again. However, it does nothing but force me to contain my laughter while they talk to me as if I'm an idiot. Granted, I know people don't do it to be disrespectful. It's just simple ignorance, and that's fine. I'm so used to it I don't even notice anymore. However, I did notice Sydney's reaction, because there really wasn't one. As soon as she found out, she just propped herself up on the counter and continued talking to me, even though she moved from speaking to texting. And it helps that she's a fast texter. We run across the courtyard until we reach the base of the stairs that lead up to her apartment. I begin walking up and notice that she's frozen at the bottom of the stairs. The look in her eyes is nervous, and I instantly feel bad for not realizing how hard this must be for her. I know she's probably hurting a lot more than she's letting on. Learning that your best friend and your boyfriend have betrayed you has to be difficult, and it hasn't even been a day since she found out. I walk back down the stairs and grab her hand and smile at her reassuringly. I tug on her hand. She takes a deep breath and walks with me up the stairs. She taps me on the shoulder before we reach her door, and I turn around. Can I wait here? She says. I don't want to see them. I nod, relieved that her lips are easy to read. But how well you asked there for my bird, she says. Or I think that's what she said. I laugh, knowing I more than likely completely misread her lips. She says it again when she sees the confusion on my face. But I still don't understand her. I hold up my phone so she can text me. Sydney, but how will you ask them for my purse? Yeah, I was a little off on that one. Me, I'll get your purse, Sydney. Wait here. She nods. I type out a text as I walk to the front door and knock. A minute passes, and no one comes to the door, so I knock again with more force, thinking maybe my first knock was too soft to be heard. The doorknob turns, and Sydney's friend appears in the doorway. She eyes me curiously for a second, then glances behind her. The door opens wider, and Hunter appears, eyeing me suspiciously. He says something that looks like, "Can I help you?" I hold up the text that says I'm here for Sydney's purse, and he looks down and reads it, then shakes his head. "Who the hell are you?" he says, apparently not liking the fact that I'm here on Sydney's behalf. The girl disappears from the doorway, and he opens the door even farther, then folds his arms over his chest and glares at me. I motion to my ear and shake my head, letting him know that I can't hear what he's saying. He pauses, then throws his head back and laughs and disappears from the doorway. I glance to Sydney, who is standing nervously at the top of the stairs, watching me. Her face is pale, and I give her a wink, letting her know everything is okay. Hunter comes back, slaps a piece of paper against the door, and writes on it. He holds the paper up for me to read. Are you fucking her? Jesus, what a prick. I motion for the pen and paper, and he hands them to me. I write my response and hand it back to him. He looks down at the paper, and his jaw tightens. He crumples up the paper, drops it to the floor, and then, before I can react, his fist is coming at me. I accept the hit, knowing I should have been prepared for it. The girl reappears and I can tell she's screaming, although I have no idea whom she's screaming at or what she's saying. As soon as I take a step back from the doorway, Sydney is in front of me, rushing into the apartment. My eyes follow her as she runs down the hallway, disappears into a room, and comes back out clutching a purse. The girl steps in front of her and places her hands on Sydney's shoulders, but Sydney pulls her arm back, makes a fist, and punches the girl in the face. Hunter tries to step in front of Sydney to block her from leaving, so I tap him on the shoulder. When he turns around, I punch him square in the nose, and he stumbles back. Sydney's eyes go wide, and she looks back at me. I grab her hand and pull her out of the apartment, toward the stairs. Luckily, the rain has finally stopped, so we both break into a run back toward my apartment. I glance behind me a couple of times to make sure neither of them is following us. Once we make it back across the courtyard and up my stairs, I swing open the door and step aside so she can run in. I shut the door behind us and bend over, clasping my knees with my hands to catch my breath. What an asshole. I'm not sure what Sydney saw in him, but the fact that she dated him makes me question her judgment a little bit. I glance up at her, expecting to see her in tears, but instead she's laughing. She's sitting on the floor, attempting to catch her breath, laughing hysterically. I can't help but smile, seeing her reaction. And the fact that she punched that girl right in the face without a moment's hesitation, I've gotta hand it to her, she's tougher than I first thought. She looks up at me and inhales a calming breath, then mouths the words, "Thank you," while holding up her purse. She stands up and brushes the wet hair out of her face, then walks to the kitchen and opens a few drawers until she finds a dish towel and pulls it out. She wets it under the faucet, turns around, and motions me over. When I reach her, I lean against the counter while she takes my chin and angles my face to the left. She presses the towel to my lip, and I wince. I didn't even realize it was hurting until she touched it. She pulls the rag back, and there's blood on it, so she rinses it under the faucet and puts it back up to my mouth. I notice that her own hand is red. I take it and inspect it. It's already swelling. I pull the rag from her hand and wipe the rest of the blood off my face, then grab a Ziploc bag out of the cabinet, go to the freezer, and fill it with ice. I take her hand and press the ice onto it, letting her know she needs to keep it there. I lean against the counter next to her and pull my phone out. "Me, you hit her good. Your hand is already swelling." She texts me with one hand, keeping the ice on top of the other as she rests it on the counter. "Sydney, it could be because that wasn't the first time I've punched her today. Or it could also be swollen because you aren't the first one to punch Hunter today." Me: "Wow, I'm impressed." Or terrified. "Is 3 punches your daily average?" Sydney: "3 punches is now my lifetime average." I laugh. She shrugs and sets her phone down, then pulls the ice off her hand and brings it back up to my mouth. "Your lip is swelling," she says. My hands are clenching the countertop behind me. I become increasingly uneasy with how comfortable she is with all this. Thoughts of Maggie flash through my head, and I can't help but wonder if she'd be okay with this scenario if she were to walk through the front door right now. I need a distraction. Me: "You want birthday cake?" She smiles and nods. Me: "I probably shouldn't drive since you've turned me into a raging alcoholic tonight. But if you feel like walking, Park's Diner makes a damn good dessert, and it's less than a mile from here. Pretty sure the rain is over." "Let me change," she says, motioning to her clothes. She pulls clothes from her suitcase, then heads to the bathroom. I put the top on the pine sol and hide it back under the cabinet.
Chapter 5. Sydney. We don't interact much while we eat. We're both sitting in the booth with our backs to the wall and our legs stretched out in front of us on the seats. We're quietly watching the restaurant crowd, and I can't stop wondering what it's like for him, not being able to hear anything going on around us. I'm probably too blunt for my own good, but I have to ask him what's on my mind. Me: "What's being deaf like? Do you feel like you're in on a secret that no one else knows about? Like you have a leg up on everyone because the fact that you can't hear has magnified all your other senses and you've got superhuman powers and no one can tell just by looking at you? He almost spits out his drink while reading my text. He laughs, and it occurs to me that his laugh is the only sound I've heard him make. I know that some people who can't hear can still talk, but I haven't heard him say a single word all night, not even to the waitress. He either points to what he wants on the menu or writes it down. Ridge.
I can honestly say I've never thought about it like that before. I kind of like it that you think of it that way, though. To be honest, I don't think about it at all. It's normal to me. I have nothing to compare it to because it's all I've ever known.
Me.
I'm sorry. I'm being one of those people again, aren't I? I guess me asking you to compare being deaf to not being deaf is like you asking me to compare being a girl to being a boy.
Ridge.
Don't apologize. I like that you're interested enough to ask me about it. Most people are a little weirded out by it, so they don't say anything at all. I've noticed it's kind of hard to make friends, but that's also a good thing. The few friends I do have are genuine, so I look at it as an easy way of weeding out all the shallow, ignorant assholes.
Me. Good to know I'm not a shallow, ignorant asshole.
Ridge. Wish I could say the same about your ex.
I sigh. Ridge is right. But damn if it doesn't sting to know I couldn't see through Hunter's bullshit. I put my phone down and eat the last of my cake. Thank you, I say as I put my fork down. I honestly forgot for a while that today was my birthday, until he offered to take me out for cake. He shrugs as if it isn't a big deal, but it is a big deal. I can't believe after the day I've had that I'm actually in a semi-decent mood. Ridge can take credit for that, because if it weren't for him, I don't know where I'd be tonight or what kind of emotional state I'd be in. He takes a drink of his soda, then sits upright in the booth. He nods his head to the door, and I agree that I'm ready to go. The buzz from the alcohol has worn off, and as we make our way out of the restaurant and back into the dark, I can feel myself beginning to succumb to the heartache again. I guess Ridge sees the look on my face, because he puts his arm around me and briefly squeezes my shoulders. He drops his arm and pulls his phone out.
Ridge. For what it's worth, he doesn't deserve you.
Me. I know. But it still hurts that I ever thought he deserved me. And honestly, I'm more hurt about Tori than I am about what happened with Hunter. I'm mostly just pissed at Hunter.
Ridge. Yeah, I don't even know the guy and I've been pretty pissed at him. I can't imagine how you must feel. I'm surprised you haven't retaliated with some evil revenge plot yet.
Me.
I'm not that clever. I wish I were because I'd be all about revenge right now.
Ridge stops walking and turns to face me. He cocks an eyebrow and a slightly wicked grin appears. It makes me laugh because I can tell by his smile that he's mapping out a plan.
Okay, I say, nodding my head without even knowing what he's about to propose, as long as it doesn't land us in jail.
Ridge,
do you know if he leaves his car unlocked?
Fish? I ask, crinkling my nose in disgust. We've made a pit stop at a local grocery store next to the apartment complex, and he's buying a huge, scaly, whole fish. I'm assuming this has to be part of his elaborate revenge scheme, but he could just be hungry.
Ridge, we need duct tape.
I follow him to the hardware aisle, where he grabs a roll of heavy-duty duct tape. Fresh fish and duct tape. I'm still not sure what he has planned, but I sort of like where this is headed. When we're back at the apartment, I point out Hunter's car. I run up to the apartment to grab his spare car key out of my purse, where I still have it, while Ridge wraps the fish with duct tape. I come back downstairs and hand him the key.
Me.
So what exactly are we about to do with this fish?
Ridge. Watch and learn, Sydney.
We walk to Hunter's car, and Ridge unlocks the passenger door. He has me tear off several pieces of duct tape while he reaches under the passenger seat. I'm watching closely, in case I need to seek revenge against anyone in the future. And he presses it against the underside of the seat. I hand him several more pieces of duct tape, trying to contain my laughter, while he secures the raw fish with it. After he's sure it won't come loose, he slides out of the car and closes the door, looking around innocently. My hand is over my mouth, stifling my laughter, and he's as cool and composed as can be. We casually walk away from the car, and once we're on the stairs to the apartment, we begin laughing. Ridge, his car is gonna smell like death in a matter of 24 hours. He'll never find it. Me, you're kind of evil. If I didn't know better, I'd think you've done this before. He laughs as we make our way back inside. We kick off our shoes at the door, and he tosses the duct tape onto the counter. I use the bathroom and make sure to unlock the door to his bedroom before I walk back out. In the living room, all the lights are out, except for the lamp by the couch. I lie down and check my phone one last time before turning it on silent. Ridge, good night. Sorry your birthday sucked. Me, thanks to you, it was better than it could have been. I place the phone under my pillow and cover up. I close my eyes, and my smile immediately fades when the silence takes over. I can feel the tears coming, so I cover my head with the blanket and brace myself for a long night of heartache. The respite with Ridge was nice, but I have nothing to distract me now from the fact that I'm having the worst day of my life. I can't understand how Tori could do something like this to me. We've been best friends for almost 3 years. I told her everything. I trusted her with everything. I told her things I would never dream of telling Hunter. Why would she risk our friendship for sex? I've never felt this hurt. I pull the blanket over my eyes and begin to sob. Happy birthday to me. I have the pillow pulled tightly over my head, but it doesn't drown out the sound of gravel crunching beneath shoes. Why is someone walking on a driveway so noisily? And why can I even hear it? Wait, where am I? Did yesterday really happen? I reluctantly open my eyes, and I'm met with sunlight, so I pull the pillow tighter over my face and give myself a minute to adjust. The sound seems to get louder, so I lift the pillow from my face and peer out with one eye open. The first thing I see is a kitchen that isn't mine. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm on Ridge's couch, and 22 is the worst age ever. I lift the pillow all the way off my head and groan as I squeeze my eyes shut again. Who are you, and why are you sleeping on my couch? My body jumps, and my eyes flick open at the deep voice that can't be more than a foot away. Two eyes peer down at me. I pull my head back against the couch to get more space between me and the curious eyes to get a better look at who they're attached to. It's a guy. A guy I've never seen before. He's sitting on the floor directly in front of the couch, and he's holding a bowl. He dips a spoon into the bowl and shoves it into his mouth, then begins the loud crunching again. I'm guessing that's not gravel he's eating.
Are you the new roommate?
He says with his mouth full. I shake my head. No, I mutter. I'm a friend of Ridge's. He cocks his head and looks at me suspiciously. Ridge only has one friend, the guy says. Me. He shoves another spoonful of cereal into his mouth and fails to back out of my personal space. I push my palms into the couch and sit up so that he's not right in my face. Jealous? I ask. The guy continues to stare at me. What's his last name? Whose last name?
Your very good friend Ridge, he says cockily. I roll my eyes and drop my head against the back of the couch. I don't know who the hell this guy is, but I really don't care to compete over our levels of friendship with Ridge. I don't know Ridge's last name. I don't know his middle name. The only thing I know about him is that he's got a mean right hook, and I'm only sleeping on your couch because my boyfriend of 2 years decided it would be fun to screw my roommate, and I really didn't want to stick around to watch. He nods, then swallows. It's Lawson, and he doesn't have a middle name. As if the morning could get any worse, Bridget appears from the hallway and walks into the kitchen. The guy on the floor takes another spoonful of cereal and looks at Bridget, finally breaking his uncomfortable lock on me. Good morning, Bridget, he says with an odd sarcastic tone to his voice. Sleep well? She looks at him briefly and rolls her eyes. Screw you, Warren, she snaps. He turns his gaze back to mine with a mischievous grin. That's Bridget, he whispers. She pretends to hate me during the day, but at night, she loves me. I laugh, not really trusting that Bridget is capable of loving anyone. Shit, she yells, catching herself on the bar before she trips. Jesus Christ! She kicks one of my suitcases, still on the floor next to the bar. Tell your little friend if she's staying here, she needs to take her shit to her room. Warren makes a face as if he's scared for me, then turns his head toward Bridget. What am I, your bitch? Tell her yourself. Bridget points to the suitcase she almost tripped over. Get your shit out of the kitchen, she says before marching back to her bedroom. Warren slowly turns his head back to face me and laughs. Why does she think you're deaf? I shrug. I have no idea. She came to that conclusion last night and I failed to correct her. He laughs again, much louder. Oh, this is classic, he says. Do you have any pets? I shake my head. Are you opposed to porn? I don't know how we just began playing 20 questions, but I answer him anyway. Not opposed to the principle of porn, but opposed to being featured in one. He nods, contemplating my answer for a beat too long. Do you have any annoying friends? I shake my head. My best friend is a backstabbing whore, and I'm no longer speaking to her. What are your showering habits? I laugh. Once a day with a skip day every now and then, no more than 15 minutes. Do you cook? Only when I'm hungry. Do you clean up after yourself? Probably better than you, I say, taking in the fact that he's used his shirt for a napkin no fewer than 3 times during this conversation. Do you listen to disco? I'd rather eat barbed wire. All right then, he says. I guess you can stay. I pull my feet up and sit cross-legged. I didn't realize I was being interviewed. He glances at my suitcases, then back to me. It's obvious you need a place to stay, and we've got an empty room. If you don't take it, Bridget wants to move her sister in next month, and that's the last thing Ridge and I need. I can't stay here, I say. Why not? From the sound of it, you're about to spend the day searching for an apartment anyway. What's wrong with this one? You won't even have to walk very far to get here. I want to say that Ridge is the problem. He's been nice, but I think that might be the issue. I've been single for less than 24 hours, and I don't like the fact that although I should have been consumed with nightmares about Hunter and Tori all night, instead, I had a slightly disturbing dream involving an extremely accommodating Ridge. I don't tell Warren that Ridge is why I can't stay here, though. Partly because that would give Warren more ammunition for questions, and partly because Ridge just walked into the kitchen and is looking at us. Warren winks at me, then stands up and walks with his bowl to the sink. He looks at Ridge. Have you met our new roommate? Warren asks. Ridge signs something to him. Warren shakes his head and signs back. I sit on the couch and watch their silent conversation, slightly in awe that Warren knows sign language. I wonder if he's learned it for Ridge's benefit.
Maybe they're brothers?
Warren laughs and Ridge glances in my direction before walking back to his bedroom. What did he say?